Well, I sure appreciate that song that was sang. Folks, when we move by the Spirit of the Lord and we allow the Lord to use our lives, it is a real blessing to others. And so we sure want to encourage that this morning when the Lord moves on us. I wanted to turn to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Paul exhorts Timothy here. He says, for God, well, verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I feel like this morning the Lord's been talking to me through the week some about a sound mind, and I've just been really inspired by this. You know, we've been studying for a couple of weeks before this about our life and supports to our life, and we've likened it to a wheel like they used to have on the old wagons, the Conestoga wagons, where they had spokes in those, big spokes, big wheels they could carry. Thousands of pounds. They could carry a lot of weight, maybe 3,000 pounds, they said. You know, those spokes in those wheels were small, and they were only one of a number, but they carried weight, and they meant something. And you know, this morning, our life is like that. There are things that are in our life that support our experience with the Lord. And I want to challenge us today. We are in a world today that it seems to me a sound mind and good common sense is in short supply everywhere. It's just evident on every side, on all kinds of places. It's evident. It's in short supply. But Paul told Timothy, he said, I want you to stir the gift of God up that's in you. Don't work out, don't live out of fear or work out of fear. He said, I want you to have, he said, God has, I want you to have a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind. You know, this morning, a sound mind is so valuable in this world. You know, in a home, how valuable it is for a man to have a sound mind. A mind that's able to make good, sound decisions. That's valuable, isn't it? It's valuable in every way. It'll keep your family tracking in good directions, and it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. But when our mind begins to become unsound, there's no telling where we will lead, because folks, we all lead. A leader has followers. We've got little family members coming behind us. We've got friends. We've got maybe grandchildren. We're leaders whether we want to be or not. And where we lead, many times others will follow. And so this morning I want to encourage us that God wants us to have power and a sound mind in life. You know, even financial decisions. You know, there's a soundness to good decisions in finances. Did you know that's a part of our life? Mess it all up and see if it's not a part of your life. You'll be getting several jobs to keep up with the mess-ups, won't we? We all know that. You know, this morning, let's ask God, Lord, teach me how to have a sound mind. Because all around us, people are working from, not only from fear, but from anger, from all kinds of pulls and drives and lust and all kinds of things that are unsound. And we see the results on every hand. Folks, God wants a people in this world. We sang a song about praising the Lord, and we see. I looked up Psalm 148. Read that sometime. It talks about the trees, the heavens, all the things praising the Lord, the lightning, the storms, the winds. Those things, they give glory to God because God made them. And He wants us to give glory to God too. He doesn't want us to live in this world cowered under fear or oppression of the enemy. I believe God has better and wants to give us those gifts in life. Now, we might be there today, but I want to tell you something. We want to see the light of the gospel, and that's the good news of the gospel out there. The Lord wants to give us something greater in our lives. I want to keep my spokes. I want to try my best, by God's help, to keep the spokes in the things that support my spiritual experience strong. Keep a good, sound mind. If we let fear overwhelm us, folks, we will make very, very wrong decisions. One of the best examples I know of that is when somebody gets out in the water and they begin to be fearful they're going to drown. You know, they'll grasp at a straw. That straw can't save them. They'll do anything to try to stay, other than just, if they had a sound mind about it, and I know that it's hard at that time, if they could stop, wait a minute, there are some things that I can do. I could even float. If I just would turn over and work at it a little. You know, there's things in life like that. I want to liken one more thing in our life. Life is like a puzzle, and I've thought of this many times. It has many pieces, and sometimes it's hard to know where that piece fits in. It just is. Now, we can just try to cram it in, and in life, people do that. But the pieces don't all come together then. But if we will stop and match it up to the Word of God and ask the Lord, Lord, where does this fit? Where does your, what's your Word say about this? You know what? Excuse me. And we're not working from drastic fear and what. Folks, God has our lives in His control. I believe that. I really believe that. We might suffer some, but I still believe God has our lives in His control. And so when life throws many things at us as it does, and there are many questions, what do I do? How do I react to this problem now with my child? They're growing up, and you know, what do I do here? My job situation. What do I do over here? This spiritual battle that I'm facing. The devil's been tempting me. How do I handle all these things? Well, I'll tell you, the best chance we've got is to keep a sound mind. Go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, I need some help. And He might tell you, you see that old sister over there, that old brother over there? Go talk to them. They raised kids too. You know, they know what it's like to be on a job too. They had a whole career out there. You know, sometimes those advantages that we have from one another are things the Lord wants us to use. And sometimes He'll just impress us. This is what you want. This is what you need to do. Go do this. God can do that, can't He? If we have a sound mind. If we don't have a sound mind, we run off in fear or anger or whatever we do, and we make rash judgments that plague us for years to come. Is that true? Of course it's true. We know that's true. The Lord help us. Young men, young ladies, get a sound mind. Did you know Paul exhorted the young men to be sober-minded? I want to read that here in a little bit. You know what? Sober-minded, we're talking about a mind that can make good choices. Those things are developed. If we develop our lives in such a way that we constantly respond to all the drama that is around us constantly. This drama pops up and we run and do this and we do that. Folks, the best chance we've got in life is to have a sound mind. It's a support to our spiritual experience. It will save us from many troubles later in our life if we'll live with a sound mind. This is in contrast. A sound mind is in contrast to using our emotions or sometimes just our own mind about things. It's just the way I want it to be. It's going to be that way. Well, it might be that way. And you might be in trouble for a long time from that. Fit it to the Word of God. Fit that puzzle piece. How does the Word say it? Where does this fit in, Lord? I think He's got some good things to help us with there. Peer pressures. Peer pressures, the feeling, well, this is what I think people want me to do. I want to tell you something. Settle down. Settle down and let God lead us. I want to tell you, there's safety in that because God knows what we need. Time pressures and temptations. I want to read in Acts, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse, a little story here. It says, and in those days, Acts 6 and 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. There's a little problem here. Something's not working right. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. The 12, the apostles, those that were ministering the word and working with people and preaching to them daily, they recognized, you know what, we need some help here. We shouldn't be going in here and trying to untangle every little thing. And so it says, they said and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You know, they were looking for some men that had strength about them. They had an honest report. They had had a sound mind in their judgments. The Spirit of the Lord was upon them. We need some men here that can go out and untangle these things and make sure everything works right. Okay, so, but we will give ourselves to continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And anyway, they went on, they laid their hands on them and prayed for them. And then in verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, this morning, those kind of men should not be something that we find unusual. That's for everybody to be that way, is it not? This isn't just for a few, but I'll tell you what these kind of men make. They make good neighbors. They make good church people. They make good trustees. They make good bosses. They make good employees. They make good husbands and fathers. That's what that means. Men, I want to encourage us today to be men, to grow up in the things of God, and let the Lord work in our life in such a way that we gain a sound mind. Because people that have a sound mind, the Lord can put in so many places. But folks, not everybody has a sound mind. Sometimes you see people that oppose themselves. There's lots of them in this world. Let's don't be a person that opposes ourselves. Let's fit our lives, our situations, our attitudes, our thoughts, our works. Let's fit them to the puzzle. Let's fit them in. Lord, how do you want me to do? What's this supposed to look like? Paint your picture on this puzzle piece so it'll fit right. And you know, I believe if we'll let God do that, folks, things will work well for us. They just will. Stephen lost his life. But I want to tell you something. He saw heaven opened on the way out. And he didn't lose his grace. Stephen loved those people and prayed for them. You know, all the way out, wherever God had him, he was faithful. He had a sound mind. In the face of those guys getting angry, he didn't lose it with fear or anger or retaliation. He gave himself to God, didn't he? In the face of all that. And when they began to stone him, you know what? Stephen was calling out to God. Stephen was doing that because he was a man that was used to following God and keeping a sound mind. We have to keep a sound mind in the midst of all the things we're in the world. Otherwise, can you imagine if Stephen would have lost it and started throwing rocks back? What kind of story would this be today? But you know, I believe the Lord wants us to be developed. Let's let the Lord develop us. It's developed by patient endurance, by not running off when the battle gets on. It's developed by going back and saying, I'm sorry to my children or my wife. And I've had to do that plenty of times. I'm sorry, I just have. You know what? Sometimes we have to go back and say, I spoke too quick. I shouldn't have said it like that. You know what? I should have done different. Well, let's learn. Let's let the Lord develop us, folks. If we give to every whim and emotion of our life, we're not ever going to be really spiritual people. I want to look at a few verses here in Titus 2. And it's amazing how many times in Titus that this same idea is taught. But we'll start in verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And we all know these scriptures really well, don't we? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we know those things well, don't we? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That word soberly, if you look it up in the Greek, it says with sound mind. With a sound mind. That is moderately. Clark says of that, having every temper, appetite, and desire under the government of reason, and reason itself under the government of the Spirit of God. You know, this allows us to make good decisions this morning. And so, Lord, teach us to have sober minds that can make good decisions. Minds that can make good decisions. Is that okay? Lord, teach us. Develop us. Help us not to be given to our flesh and not make way for our flesh, but help us to be able to learn as we go. I want to look at a couple of other places here that 1 John 4 and 1 and 2, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, not every mouth that confesses that is of God. The devil knows that Jesus is the Christ. But I would tell you something. When our spirit confesses it, and our life confesses it, folks, that's real. And so he says, don't believe every spirit. Try them. Put them to the test. Put them to the puzzle test. Put it up there by God's word. Lord, how does this work out with your word? Is this attitude, is this prevailing thing, is this according to your word? Is this something that you want me to be a part of? Is this the attitude that you want me to have? Is this the spirit and the tempo that you want me to have? Folks, this morning, I really believe the Lord has something here for us. I have seen, of course, if you've lived a few years, you've seen some things, haven't you? I've seen the pitch of things get so high that things just got completely out of whack. You ever seen that? We have, haven't we? Plenty of times. That's not a sound atmosphere. That's not a sound atmosphere. We live in a society that I can hardly believe the power of sensation, sensationalism. Everything that is said is not necessarily said to appeal to reason. It's said to appeal to people's emotions and drive their fears or drive their emotions. It's made to do that today. We live in a society, I don't know if there's ever been a society like this before to this degree. Folks, it's 24 and 7 and 365. It's out there all the time. Turn it on at any moment and you will find sensational stuff going on whatever side of whatever you're on. Folks, that's not a sound atmosphere. A sound place is a place where we know the will of God and we concretely do it. Folks, that's where we want to be this morning. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us to keep a right spirit, that our spirit matches up to the puzzle piece. It matches, it's part of the Word of God fits it. It fits to the Word of God, rather. Is that right? That's right. This morning, I'm not here to get on to anybody. Folks, I want to encourage us. Folks, I believe we have some of the most sane people around. Now, I want to tell you this morning, let's exercise it. Let's learn to make it work well. Because people that have good, sound judgments, even in business, it prospers it, doesn't it? Do you know this morning, it'll prosper us too, as a whole? Let's look around and ask God, Lord, where are you right now in my life, in all the things that's going on, where are you? Because I want to fit in there. I want to fit into that. And you know, I think we'll find that works pretty good, actually. I'm not going to turn here, I guess. Well, I'll just read this. James 1 and 20 to 22. For the wrath of God, of man, worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And folks, if we will do that, if we will, with meekness, with gentleness, with tenderness, with humbleness, accept the engrafted word into our lives and make it part of who we are, then, and be doers of the word, folks, I think we'll avoid some of the wrath of man and the mistakes that are brought on by that. I believe God will lead us to know the things we ought to do as well. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God this morning. So lay apart all the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And let's concentrate on receiving with meekness the Word of God in our hearts and lives until it is growing, blossoming, blooming in our life. And I want to tell you, that's something God can use. That's something He can bring before kings with that grace. Clark says the wrath of man, this is what he says about it. A furious zeal in matters of religion is detestable in the sight of God. A furious zeal in matters of religion is detestable in the sight of God. He will have no sacrifice that is not consumed by fire from His own altar. The zeal that made the papists persecute and burn the Protestants was kindled in hell. This was the wrath of man, and did not work any righteous act for God, nor was it the means of working righteousness in others. So I want to encourage us, folks, as the cry is loud, let's don't be moved from doing all the will of God in our life. And let's don't be moved from having the peace of God within our hearts. I believe that's where God wants us to be. It's a safe place. We need to continue to be godly men and women in our homes. We need to continue to be godly on our jobs. With people we violently disagree with, we need to continue to be godly examples, don't we? It's the right thing to do. I want to look at Acts 19 now and read something that it's an amazing story. It's bizarre almost to read what went on here. But Paul met with so many different things as he traveled around. Acts 19 and 29. We'll start at 28. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Now, who was Diana? She was the god of the Ephesians, wasn't she? She had a grand temple there, an amazing place built for her. She sure couldn't build it herself because she was just the work of men's hands. And she couldn't do anything herself. Anywhere she went, they had to carry her or make some kind of a little idol like her. What they thought she was. And so the whole city, in verse 29, was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. Paul, don't go in there. Those people are out of touch. They're wild with confusion. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some, because Paul probably wanted to go in there and quiet the people. Hey, let me talk to you. Let me tell you the truth. There was no truth to be discerned. It was a wild and reckless gathering. Look at what it says about this gathering. Some, therefore, cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They didn't even know why they were there, but some were yelling one thing, some were yelling another. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, now listen to this, folks, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." What kind of a meeting place would that be? We're just upset. We don't even know why we're upset, but we are upset. And they cried out for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Why did they have to defend Diana? Diana couldn't defend herself. But there was no rhyme or reason to what they were doing. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Don't you know she fell down from Jupiter? Don't you know we all worship her? "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." You know, somebody had a little bit of sense at least. But you know what, folks? We laugh at that. This kind of thing happens today. And it happens plenty of times. And it can happen in our heart. It can happen in our home. And things get all out of control. And then, what was it all about anyway? You know, the devil wants to do those things, doesn't he? The Lord wants us to have a sound mind. One that's under control. One that's under the control of the Lord. And one that understands what's going on. and moves by the Spirit of the Lord. And so this morning, let's try the spirits. I would say that that gathering was not of the Spirit of God. Wouldn't you? That's not hard to deduct. I would say it wasn't moved by the Spirit of the Lord. Folks, we know most of the time when things are not moved by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's hold on. Let's ask the Lord to develop in us a sound mind. Not one that sticks his head in the sand, but a sound mind. One that deals with things like they ought to be dealt with. One that deals with things the best that they can be dealt with. One that has the Spirit of the Lord to lead them. I thought about a camera. You know, the lens opens on that camera for long enough that there is an image imprinted on that. And you can take it away then. It's a perfect rendition, pretty much, of what you saw. That's what it is. Our minds, our hearts are like that. And God wants us to spend a little time in His Word. A little time praying. Quiet the thoughts. Until there are no thoughts of our own. Until we simply are looking to the Lord. Lord, teach me Your ways. Lord, show me Your thoughts. Refuse to think about any, even of Your needs sometimes. Folks, seek the Lord and let Him imprint His thoughts on our hearts. Seek Him as we read the Word. Lord, this is Your Word. Explain it to me. Imprint it on my heart. Help me understand it. How does this fit my life? Lord, how does this fit the situations I'm in? Let's get our mind on heavenly things, and the Lord has promised to take care of the earthly things, all of them, if we'll do that this morning. If our heart is imprinted with the emotions of the hour, and that is what is most vivid in our mind and heart, folks, it's going to distort our vision of what we need to do. A sound mind is developed by having quietness. The Scripture tells us that in quietness and confidence, that's going to be our strength. Quietness and confidence. Confidence that God's going to help us. Quietness from all of our own roarings. Lord, help us to know what to do. Teach us Your ways. Spend time with that. I want to tell you, when God speaks to you, you'll know what to do. And it'll be effective and effectual. It'll heal your home. It'll heal your life. It'll heal your heart. It'll heal your relationships. Many of them. Most of them. I know there has to be an acceptance on two ends of relationships. But folks, a sound mind and taking God's way will many times and most of the time heal your relationships. And many times your enemies will become your supporters, your strength, your help. They'll be behind you. They'll be with you. But it takes a real sound mind, humbling ourselves to the Lord, humbling ourselves to His ways, letting it imprint upon our heart. Lord, teach me. I want Your Word. Teach me what it means to humble myself. Teach me what it means to do the things. I want to tell you how important this is. Paul, and I'm going to try to just skip through some of these things, but I'm going to mention the main points of it. In Titus 1 and 7 to 11, Paul talks about a bishop and the requirements of a minister. Do you know this morning one of the things that he says is that they must be sober? Now, we read all of those things. Do you know what that word sober means? It means safe, sound in mind. That is self-controlled, moderate as to opinion or passion. Now, we all ought to be that. But it's required of a minister. You know, this morning, that's a requirement to be sober. I'm going to read that again. Now, Paul said that a minister must be this way. safe, sound in mind, that is self-controlled, moderate as to opinion or passion. It's used in the scripture as discreet, sober, temperate. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes again, and he says, a bishop then must be blameless. This is 1 Timothy 3 and 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. There's the word again. He's telling Timothy, he wrote it to Titus, a bishop must be sober. He must be self-controlled. He must be temperate in his passions and all of those things. He must be sound in mind. Now let's go back to Titus 2. We told you that it was mentioned several times there, that word, sober. And we read the 12th, I believe, verse. But let's skip back up now to verses 1 and 2 in Titus. And he says, he's giving some instructions here to Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus, I want you to speak things that become sound doctrine. Don't teach off the cuff. Don't teach things that aren't sound. Don't teach things that are driven by sensationalism or where you're trying to move people in that way. Teach things that are sound, things that are safe, things that structures can be built upon, people's lives can be built upon. I want you to teach those things. And he says that the aged men be sober. It's the first thing he says. A sound mind. That they have a mind he uses this word, but not in the word sober. He uses a different Greek word there with sober, and it means circumspect. But he goes on to say, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The word temperate, the word circumspect, I'm sorry, means prudent, watchful on all sides, examining carefully all the circumstances that may affect a determination or a measure to be adopted. That word circumspect comes from the word temperate, I believe, or the word, anyway, those two words, one of them is in there. The word temperate, I believe, is the word that is used for sober in the other places, and the word sober here means circumspect. Pardon me for that. But then in Titus 2 and 5, he tells the aged women, he says, to be discreet. Do you know that's the same word? Have a good, sound mind. Good, sound judgment. Be that way. This is good for all of us, folks. Every one of us to develop and let the Lord develop. When we see our emotions running off with us, it's time to rein them in. It's time to grow a little. Folks, we all have to grow, and we grow all through our life. Rein them in. And make sober and sound and concrete decisions. And that's what God wants us to do. And he says, you tell the aged women to be sober, or discreet, the word is used here. Chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I want to say this. Anyone who has responsibility must learn these things. Anyone who has responsibility. That's why on jobs, certain people are moved up many times. You know why? Because they have a good, sound judgment. Good, sound, they can make good decisions. Good decisions are in short supply in today's world. And so people that have those kind of minds, it's easy. It's easy for them to rise. That's why most of our people, they rise right to the top of wherever they're at. Folks, that's because of sound judgment. That's because of honesty. That's because of those kind of things. It just naturally works that way. Let's learn to make sound decisions. Folks, it's a spoke in our wheel. that supports our experience with the Lord. It makes us able to handle weight. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about people handling more and more responsibility. It's because they can handle that weight now. They've got the spokes in their wheels. Put the spokes in your wheels and watch the Lord work. He has so much work to do in the world. He needs people in all kinds of places. But I'll tell you, the ones he can't use are the ones that they're liable to do anything. He can't trust that. Let's learn to be men and women that have that can handle responsibility and keep our heads on in the midst of it. In the verses 6 and 7 there of Titus 2, he says, young men likewise to be sober minded. Exhort to be sober minded. You know what? And then he goes on to say, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness. A sound mind there. To be of sound mind, that's what the Greek says. To be of sound mind, that is sane. Young men, exhort to be sane. Exhort to have a good head on your shoulders. You have to be an old man to have a good head on your shoulders? No, put your lust, your ideas, your imaginations, your zeal, give it to God. And let him use those things. And I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about everything in life. Give it to God. Don't dwell on those things and let them become a big part of your life. We all have desires. Let them be founded in God. Let them fit up against the puzzle piece. Lord, where does your word fit in? Where does this fit into your word? Help me. Help me to have grace then to live that way. Because he will, if we will let him. And it goes on to say gravity. Gravity means, and I'm going to skip through a little bit, but it means worthy of veneration or reverence, deserving of honor and respect. A young man he's talking about here. Young men, you don't have to be foolish in your life. You can have respect and honor. And the Lord wants it to be so. You can have respect. Tried virtue or integrity. Or approved actions. But in general, strict honesty. This is talking about probity, which is, anyway, it's all in there. Sincerity, veracity, integrity and principle. Or strict conformity of actions to the laws of justice. You know, this morning, the Lord's looking for that. He told Timothy, Paul did, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, that's 1 Timothy 4, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Don't let anybody tell you you're young and you can't live for God. Be a holy example and live godly. And the Lord work in your life? Listen, young folks, you can live for God. And anything that says against that is not a sound mind. That's fearful thinking. I want to tell you, God can and will keep us saved until we die. If we'll follow him all the way, he will do that. So the Lord help us today. Lord, help us to be grounded and settled. Just kind of quoting some of the scriptures instead of reading them. You know, the Lord wants to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Do you know that? Now that's in Colossians 1, but in 2 Peter 2 it says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We want to be moved, but not by the will of man, not by our own mind, but we want to be moved by the Spirit of God. Oh, folks, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, the Lord wants us to do that. Can we? I think we must this morning. Oh, the Lord help us to see these kind of things, and Lord, help us to grasp these things. Help us to run for these things. Help us to open our arms for these things. I see all the young, and I look at them, and I look at all of us, and I think of the potential here. The potential is enormous. It is enormous. But we must not be stopped by fear. Fear that I can't make it. Fear that there will be a battle too great. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to have power and a sound mind this morning. Oh, help us, Lord, that we will live like that. Increase us. Make us able to bear weight. You got a lot of weight to bear and a few people to bear it. Oh, Lord, help us to bear weight. Help us to be able to take responsibility. Lord, develop me. Lord, make me what the vessel you want me to be. I know I'm weak. I know I don't have, I don't know how the Lord can use these weak vessels. Because, folks, in our strongest, a little sickness, and we'll be gasping for air. We'll be looking, just a little something knock us out or down. I want to tell you something. God wants to give us something to take us through this morning. Oh, let's open our arms to it, folks. Let's let God give it to us. Let's pray for it. Let's seek it. Lord, give me a sound mind. Give me good decisions. Help me be able to carry weight in my life. Let my life mean something. Let me not land up all down through my life and wonder what happened. Wonder why. Folks, wherever we are, it's time for us to say, Lord, I want that spoke in my life, and I'm seeking it. You pray for me too.